Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959, and of course it is our public holiday edition, Workers' Day edition of the show. Much of the concepts and themes that we've been having with you this evening through conversation have been around work, the working environment, how it is that we take a look at vulnerable sectors of our economy. Of course, we also spoke about the view and objective that we should have as individuals when it comes to growing in our workspaces and learning how to accept criticism. But let's also talk about the future of work. And just our last guest, Tshireletso Makate, also gave us some insight into how he is looking to evolve his business model to ensure that he upskills people within the operation. Now, that does tell us more about the future of work, the trends that we see when it comes to human resource or human capital management, how wellness plays a role, technology can play an influence, and of course, reshaping how we measure output and success, but still maintaining the profitability of our businesses is key. Vumi Msweli, CEO of Hesed Consulting, joins us now to tell us more about the future of work and a very important and key Africa Career Summit. Vumi, such a pleasure to have you and welcome to the show.
Good evening, Kuku, and happy Workers' Day.
Happy Workers' Day, right? And we're both hard at work, so still showing the commitment that we have to growing and contributing to the economy. So this is going to be a very exciting conversation. I love picking your brain, Vumi, on all things work and career, because it really has been the center and the ethos of the work that you do and how you serve your clients right across the spectrum. But I'm keen to understand how a day like today, Workers' Day, does help us reflect just on the changing trends we've seen around HR. And I can imagine post the pandemic, there's a lot of evidence to this theme.
No, definitely. And, you know, looking at Workers' Day, it has really, really shifted and changed post-COVID. So what we're noticing is Workers' Day now is really emphasizing, you know, historically the importance of fair labor practices. But today that really means, how does this align to focusing on employee well-being, engagement, and really equitable work conditions? What does the future of work look like for those who are currently employed?
And maybe let's talk about that, right? Because there's so many changing themes that do play an influence here, whether it's working from home, the role of technology, but also trying to make sure that you retain the necessary talent and staff at your work.
It is a massive, massive trend. Like, so what we're noticing with digital transformation, currently, you know, in South Africa and actually the continent, 72.7% of Africans are saying actually digitalization is offering significant job creation opportunities. So we're no longer actually looking just at what you could perhaps access in the context of your country or even your city, but now we're looking globally. We're expecting that even by the year 2030, there'll be about 28 million jobs in Nigeria. We're expecting about at least 15 million new jobs in South Africa, based purely by where the trends when it comes to the future of work is going. But what's interesting about this, these jobs are not necessarily going to be based in the countries where people are going to be employed.
Tell us more, because that essentially means that as employees, we have a wider scope and options of workplaces then.
Definitely. So, you know, the likes of the World Bank is really showing some very interesting stats with regards to that. So they're under the opinion that by 2030, like we've seen now already, in 2019, 26% of Africans are now accessing internet. 2022, that's 36%. Right now in 2024, we're looking at about 40%, which means millions of jobs are going to be able to be accessed. But the skill set that's going to be required to access those jobs are what we are now looking at. And this is very interesting because, you know, typical Africans, we like, go to school, study hard, go to university. But what we're finding is that by the time you're graduating, whatever you learned is already redundant. So how then do we start preparing ourselves for a future of work that for jobs we actually don't even know we're going to need?
So how do we, and I'm assuming that this is where the Africa Career Summit does play a role in offering us guidelines, steps, and a toolkit to navigate the environment.
Definitely. So with Africa Career Summit, one of the breakaway rooms is literally the future of work, where we have the heads of organizations and HR, heads of HR from Google, from Oracle, from across the continent, and futurists sitting down and saying, these are the trends we're expecting we are actually going to see. And for me, this is very important because you might be comfortable in your job right now, but how do you start, you know, gearing up for the future of work, for whatever it is that you perhaps are going to have to pivot skill-wise? It's about having conversations with the likes of CEOs from MTN, General Electric, HR executives from across the continent, the likes of Wuthi Tembawaya, Dr. Landre Olushola, Prof. Bonang Mohale, people who've seen ups and downs, sitting down and saying, how can we help you gear up for the future of work? Because if you're sitting right now in beautiful Johannesburg or beautiful Pretoria thinking, ah, I'm good, I don't think it's going to touch me, I'm only competing with someone who is in Gqeberha or in Durban or Cape Town, you're very sorely mistaken. So how do you start taking your own career into your own hands and positioning yourself that when you need to pivot, you actually have the skills that are required to do so?
Does it always start with education? Because that's typically our translation of it.
It does. But I think what education means now versus what it meant historically is changing, right? So for me, it's the ability to learn and learn and relearn. It's about making sure you're able to adapt your skill set and really allowing yourself to be in the space where be releasing what is no longer working from an unlearning perspective and allowing yourself to relearn. And I think in South Africa, we get a little bit relaxed. We're very much under the impression that whatever my employer is going to provide from an educational training perspective will suffice, not realizing that your employer's job is to keep you efficient in what you currently do, not where you want to be in your career. And I think that's where the Africa Career Summit comes in. It's helping you accelerate and position yourself and acquire the skills that you need, but not where you are, but truly where you want to be.
Are there lessons we can learn on perhaps still engaging our current employers on the future growth that we want to attain?
Definitely. I always think of every single employer that you have almost as a university. If you want to go into entrepreneurship, they allow you to grow, create the what we call intrapreneurship, where you can grow your skill set and really play around in order for you to grow. I think if you are able to excel, and a lot of us don't realize this, you know, the one of the biggest things that are necessary for from a skill set is your ability to build relationships. A lot of us are doing sometimes the bare minimum at work, not realizing that we're actually cultivating our reputation. Mm-hmm. We're actually building a community. These are people that potentially could be your next customers, but you only see them as your current employer. And I think that's a very, very dangerous place to be. The stats are saying to us that by the year 2030, 1 billion people are going to be freelancers working in the gig economy. So if that's true, what is your reputation? Is your current employer going to want to engage you if they don't have to pay you? And that's something we all need to think about.
That's so important because I think that also speaks to the future of work, not only in terms of how we remain productive and the places we choose to be productive in, but how our productivity is rewarded, Vumile. That's one that many South Africans still struggle to contend with.
They really do. And I think, you know, being in the space where we are economically, a lot of us are in a survival space where we're just trying to make sure we are doing the bare minimum in order for us to ensure that we keep our current employment. Not in realizing that if we are doing the bare minimum, it's what they pay us for. It's not necessarily adding value. And if you're not adding value, you won't be able to pivot as the business pivots. So let's take an example. If it was 10, 15 years ago, your job was to scan papers.
Yeah.
That's no longer necessary because everything's digital. So you're no longer adding value. So your ability to realize what problem is my business actually solving? What problem am I actually contributing to ensure that we are still relevant in 15 years, in 20 years, will make the difference between being employed or not. And I think with the moment we get comfortable with that and understanding the value we can bring, we then can compete on a global scale. And let's be honest, if you're just looking purely from a labor perspective, South Africa is a tough market. We have a number of labor laws. We've got a number of things that make it very, very hard for us to be competitive in the global scale. A lot of FDI is going to go to other parts of the world. But if we're able to actually add value, that for me is the differentiator. And it doesn't just start at an organizational level. It doesn't even start at a departmental level. And it actually doesn't even start at an industry level. It starts from an individual level. What are you doing currently? Oh, for me, I work hard. That's great. That's why that sweet dude comes in every single month. It's what you get paid for. But you adding value is going beyond what your KPIs talk about.
And maybe let's reflect on that, because that differs, right, depending on the kind of role and function that you serve. So I'm assuming that there might be a toolkit to actually evaluate how you can add more value in your workplace.
Definitely. So in looking at things like toolkits, it's one, the relationship piece, which is why some of us sit in those meetings like, I just said that, but they didn't recognize you because you don't know how to cultivate the right relationships. And like I say to a lot of my coaches, let's be honest, you lack the likability factor. You're under the impression that your hard work will suffice. The second piece is also the value piece. You might be saying the right things, but the right things actually aren't adding value. That's another piece all of us need to look at. And then the third is, are we looking locally and not thinking globally? Because if we, the moment we start thinking and acting globally, we realize who we're competing with. I love an anecdote that happened with one of my former PAs. So it was like, when you don't pay me enough, I'm leaving. I was like, bye-bye, baby. Have a good time.
Wow.
And I replaced her with two people from the continent who had master's degrees. She didn't even have an undergrad. So sometimes we overvalue what we perceive our own value to be, not realizing what is the value my current employer actually perceives me to be adding. Mm. And that's a fundamental difference.
That's important, and because you're very right. When it comes to potential, you know, wage negotiations, salary increases, this is typically where people might try to push it even further, but not fully comprehend what this means for the long term, right? Because there are other ways of sourcing and soliciting support from your employer without it always having to be financial. Would that be correct?
That is definitely correct. So I think for me, it's important for us to realize that when we are looking at who we, in essence, are competing with, the value they add might be a little bit different. But also beyond that, what is actually imperative in our industry is different. So I think everyone in the music industry may have been doing the right things, but they did not see the disruption that was happening in the technology space where Apple came to take their lunch. And I think that kind of disruption is literally growing across the world. We see it even in the likes of Hollywood, where Hollywood historically has always been the go-to for entertainment. All of a sudden, the likes of, you know, KTV soapies are what everyone is hooked on. So if you don't realize and are able to, you know, compete, it makes a fatal difference.
100%. Vumi, I can imagine that there's so many people who will be keen, eager to understand more, to learn more, to interact with a coach like yourself or many peers that you might have in your space. Tell us more about where, when, and who should participate in the Africa Career Summit.
So if you're in the space where you're wanting to grow your career, you want access to thought leaders, you are you know, a junior, a middle manager, and you're wanting to understand the future of work, how to collaborate with people across the continent, that is where you should be with the Africa Career Summit. Also, if you're someone who's excelling in your career, nominate yourself. We have awards in the evening. Everything from rising stars under the age of 35 to managers, to executives, to CEO, even company of the year. Make sure you go to www.africacareersummit.org, and what you will be able to do there is nominate who you believe needs to be celebrated, but also spend the day with us in the summit, collaborating and having conversations with Africans across the continent. We are anticipating over 40% of all attendees to be outside of South Africa. And you might be running a small business and realizing your collaborators could be in the room. We're very fortunate being endorsed by the likes of the African Union, working with the Institute of People Management, Henley Business School, as well as Institute of Directors, Tiger Brands, a number of incredible brands that actually are there to ensure that we're cultivating that spirit of African collaboration. So I cannot wait to see you on the 29th of June at the Capital Hotel in Sandton on Catherine Street, to celebrate the Africa Career Summit and Awards.
100%. For me, such a pleasure speaking to you, and really appreciate your time this evening, ma'am.
Thank you so much, Gugu, and happy Workers' Day, everybody.
Happy Workers' Day. That's Vumi Lemsweli, CEO of Hesed Consulting, joining us this evening to tell us more about the evolving role of the future of work, HR practices, and of course how we as employees or people who are economically active, because the truth is we wear multiple hats these days, right? I hear people say, I have my 8 to 5 and then my 5 to 9. So clearly means that we're not just looking at one economic opportunity, but a plethora and multitude of them. So this has been a conversation really helping us understand not only where we can look for and solicit support through the Africa Career Summit, but also making sure that we take in and implement some of the insight that's been shared with us throughout our ongoing conversations on the show.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.